KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulvedo. It is day two of our series Beyond Me Too. And all this week, we're having conversations about abuse, sex, and power in a California context. For this conversation, I'm joined by my co-host of this series, Julia Scott. Hi, Julia.
Hi, John.
And a few weeks ago, we sent out a survey asking our male listeners to tell their stories of either witnessing sexual harassment towards women or even being an abuser themselves and what led to that. And we got some pretty interesting responses.
I'll bet.
Like this one from Silicon Valley Bureau Chief Tanya Mosley. She spoke to a man who wanted to share his story of what he learned from years of mistreating women. I spoke to Tanya Mosley just a few weeks ago in our studios. So what can you tell us about the men who responded and what did they have to say?
So there were about 122 responses, and only a handful of them were men. But what these guys shared was pretty profound. In a few of the cases, the men really challenged some definitions of what it means to actually be a man. I got into the deepest conversation with this guy from South Central LA. His name is Stephen McMarion, and he's 62 years old. He found our survey while looking for stories about the Me Too movement from the male perspective, not as a victim, but as an abuser.
I abused physically, I abused mentally, I abused emotionally for the most part of my life.
So McMarion says that when he was younger, he thought being a man actually meant showing a lot of bravado and, frankly, treating women like objects. So while he admired women or lusted after them, he was also suspicious of them. And that suspicion comes from what he says he learned about being a man as a kid, that a man's role was to lead and that women actually needed to be trained.
I didn't really realize it was wrong because of what I had been taught, told, and witnessed in my younger age. I thought that was the thing to do.
It's just so striking to me because, A, we don't hear a lot of men come out and say, I was abusive. And B, mm-hmm. he's essentially saying that this is what he thought it meant to be a man, was to be abusive. Why does mm-hmm. Stephen feel like his story is important at this time of the Me Too movement?
Well, he's very specific about this. He says that he's been working on himself for about 20 years now, and he realizes the harm he has inflicted on the women in his life. And he thinks this Me Too movement is a chance for not only women who've been victimized to come forward, but for men to step forward and have discussions about their roles in it all. And he says he got to this point of understanding by asking himself a very specific question.
What kind of man am I? You know, who am I as a man? We live in a society where it had been male-dominated for so long, and it was generational.
And Tanya, did he answer that question to you? Has he come to an answer when he's looked at himself?
So that's really a great question. And he tells me that he's still unpacking all of this, and he's still learning every day. One of the things that I thought was really interesting is he said that he's really coming to this idea about having respect in general for both men and women, and not really putting women on a pedestal, but really treating them as an equal and not looking at himself as someone who is supposed to lead someone else, but walk alongside them.
Quite a different image. Tanya Mosley, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, so back with Julia Scott. Julia, what were your impressions of that interview?
Well, John, you know, what struck me about that conversation was how Stephen McMarion described himself as having learned the wrong lessons early on about what it means to be a man and also how women should be treated as a part of that.
You mean like how women are treated in relationship to his idea of a man?
Yeah, that's the idea.
You know, I noticed that too, and I was just wondering, how does that even start in the first place, that idea that this is what a man does and part of that identity is being abusive?
Yeah, totally. So I went out and actually talked to someone who studies masculinity here in California, Professor Michael Messner, in the Sociology and Gender Studies Department at USC Dornsife in LA. Here's how he broke it down for me.
A lot of this we have to think of in terms of how men learn to relate to each other during boyhood and then in young adulthood, and the kind of insecurities of intermale competition in these really hierarchical organizations, oftentimes ones that also emphasize and reward domination and violence. And just sort of symbolically, men use women and joke about sex with women as a way to maneuver in these male hierarchies. What we're seeing is the persistence of that type of male entitlement in the context that's been changing structurally pretty rapidly with a movement of women into those spaces.
You've mentioned change, and I'm curious about, you know, given the moment that we're in with its opportunities for maybe some rapid social change, what might that look like amongst men? And do you see that already kind of happening here in California?
So I think one of the exciting things right now is that what I'm seeing is a lot more openness among young men today to think about and talk about these sorts of issues. A lot of these young men today were raised by feminist mothers. Sometimes feminist fathers have had feminist curriculum in their classrooms in high school. And talking with younger men, especially these days, it really seems like there's an openness to think about what can we do? What can we do in this moment where women are speaking out so much and it's becoming so clear that a lot of these ingrained patterns in our institutions are still making it so difficult for women to just do their work in workplaces and feel safe in their communities?
Professor Michael Messner, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
That was Michael Messner, professor at USC Dornsife and author of Some Men, a book about what happens when men join with women to prevent sexual assault. All week long, John and I are exploring what should or could happen next in our series Beyond Me Too. Tomorrow, we'll ask how we raise boys into men who respect their partners and understand consent. This has been the California Report for Tuesday, January 23rd, a production of KQED Public Radio.
I'm John Sepulveda.
And I'm Julia Scott. Have a great day.
Support for the California Report comes from the Barracuda Networks. Network, application, content and data security solutions for physical networks and public cloud platforms. Learn more at barracuda.com/products. The California Healthcare Foundation, advancing healthcare that works for all Californians, on the web at chcf.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.